Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome again to another broadcast, The Zone. I am your host, Minister Tom Miracle. To this broadcast, we will be discussing about being the 1965 End Time Prophecy by Stanley Bradsham. Bradsham. I believe that's how you spell it. I mean, say it, pronounce it. Frodsham. This prophecy was once again an end time message. And it was, I remember right, in 1965. And that's 50 years ago. And it, to me, when I first read the prophecy by Stanley Bradsham, I was very impressed by the correlation of the dream, 2010, Storm Warning Dream, and the end time prophecy that he was given by the Lord in 1965. There was a lot of correlation, I thought, and based on what I was researching and looking at it, I was very impressed that here's 1965 and the message that the Holy Spirit gives him is a message of the end time. And really what's amazing is what he writes down on the prophecy. A lot has already started to happen. So I'm going to share a little bit about that prophecy in this broadcast because I believe it has a lot to do with what's going on today. So before we get started, let's pray. In the name of Jesus, we're just thanking you for this time, thanking you for this moment that we have to hear the word and understand the prophecies, revelations that are given, that is making us become more aware that this is the end time, and this is the last hour, if not last few minutes of the last hour. Pray, Lord God, anoint these lips of clay, open the ears, open the eyes of those who are hearing this message. Let them come to the saving knowledge of you, Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that hearts will be open and that we will have a better realization of what is really happening today based on the scriptures and based on the prophecies that are being sent out by your Holy Spirit to your watchmen and to people who are praying and seeking your face. So you speak in the heart, let them know to warn the people that time's almost up and it's time to repent. To give your life to Jesus Christ before it's too late. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Okay. A brief biography of the Reverend Stanley Bradsham. He was born in 1882. He lived up to 1969. His biography says that he was, God's greatest gifts oftentimes come in unassuming packages, such as Stanley Bradsham, one of the great Pentecostal treasures God ever sent to the body of Christ. Stanley Bradsham was born in England. He became an early leader in the Pentecostal outpouring of the early 1900s. For years, he was the editor and publisher of the Assemblies of God publication, earning Bradsham the affectionate title of God's prophet with a pen. He ministered alongside a new early Pentecostal giant such as Smith Wigglesworth, Howard Cowder, W.F.P. Burton, and Jeffries Brothers, and others. Kent Malcolmson writes of Stanley Bradsham, his ministry was totally Christ-centered, And he was bold in dealing with error, and he came across when he came across it. A man after my own heart. He came across groups that were way out, and if they did not hearken to the clarity of Scripture, then he departed and avoided them. So should we. Out of a deep hunger for God, he was moved more than ever to give his early mornings and all nights to God in prayer. He said, I'm sure God has much for us who will get desperate and spend much time waiting on him. In 1964, the Spirit of God started to continuously bring solemn prophetic warnings to him of coming delusion and error that would come to the churches. Well, you know what? We're there. He warned of a spirit of deception coming to those who did not hold fast to the truth of the Bible and walk in holiness and righteousness. He could see afar off what was going to come in amongst Pentecostals and Charismatics. One fellow laborer and friend noted his characteristics, his gentleness, his forgiving spirit to all who offended him, his abounding and failing generosity, the gift, the precious gift of prophecy, and his indomitable faith. Even when Brother Prochain reached his 80s, he was still traveling, ministering, and keeping busy for the Master. Amen. God gave him a full life. In 1969, in the middle of the night, he finished his pilgrimage, and so God's penman went to his Lord. On the grave marker was engraved an open book with Amen, Hallelujah, Glory on it. The last letter written to his only daughter finished with these apt lines. Make much of the word of God, make much of the blood, and make much of the shortness of time. For me, this man, people say, well, the Lord told me this, the Lord told me that, you know, God said this, God said that. But to me, one of the barometers that I go by is your prayer life. And when I read about his biography, and I read that he spent much time in prayer, early mornings and all night, God in prayer, that told me that he hit his heart. Was hungering and thirsting for God. And God revealed his heart to him and revealed to him, I truly believe, the days that we're living in. This is 50-year prophecy. That's a long time. And it's right on. So I was going to share the prophecy with you and you know, and we break it down, and we can understand more and more of it. It's a prophetic word that was given by Stanley Fresham, who was a personal friend of Smith Wigglesworth. It was given in Chicago in 1965, 5 years before he went to be with the Lord. The first topic that he writes about is great judgment. And it goes, with great judgments will I plead with the population of this country. Great darkness is coming upon the countries that have heard my gospel but no longer walk in it. My wrath shall come upon them. The darkness shall be so great and the anguish so sore that men shall cry out for death and shall not find it. That's Revelation. There shall be a lingering death, famine, and great catastrophe. My wrath shall be manifested against all ungodliness. It shall come with great intensity. You have known my love, but have not experienced my wrath or my severity. My judgments are literal and not a thing to be passed over lightly. Realize the severity of my judgment and my intense anger against the sin in my household. He's talking about his church, the body of Christ. My judgment shall begin in my house. And that's what the Bible says. It says judgment first begins in the house of God. For I will cleanse my house, that it be not a partaker of my wrath against the iniquities of the cities. Before I visit the nations in judgment, I will begin at my house. Many times it says here, my house. So God's really making a bold statement. Like, you know what? I'm going to start with my church. I'm going to start with my house. I'm going to start with my people. And I'm going to begin judgment in my house. When I do cause my wrath to come upon the city of the world, my people shall be separate. I desire a people without spot or wrinkle, and such will be preserved by me in the time of my wrath, which will be coming upon all iniquity and unrighteousness. And this is true. I truly believe this with all my heart, that You know, everybody talks about God's love, and God's love is infinite, and God's love is merciful and compassionate, but he's the God of judgment too. And that's why I'm telling you that, you know, all these innocent blood is being shed. You know, the babies pro-choice, the religious extremists taking life, taking innocent life, taking, crucifying children, burying people, putting them on fire and everything else. There's a payback coming. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, said the Lord. I will repay. And God is going to bring out his wrath one day upon planet Earth and the people. And it's going to be a day of sadness and great sorrow. I desire my people without spot or wrinkle. We read that. Will be reserved by the time in my wrath, which will be coming upon all iniquity and unrighteousness. I'm going to prepare you for the coming days by a hard path that will cause many to cry out continually unto me. That's squeezing. But when the going is easy, men do not seek me. This is true. When everything's going great, you know, and our blessings, our temporary blessings, you know, it seems like, even for me, you know, I didn't spend a lot of time in prayer until I got that storm warning dream. And then once I got that dream, that shook me from the inside out. And for the last 4 years, I've been sharing it every opportunity and every chance I can get to the body of Christ and to everybody I come in contact with that will listen. And I tell them, I say, you know, you don't have to accept this. You know, you can reject it and, you know, consider it, you know, totally not worth your time. But realize something that you don't have is time. You know, none of us, we all think we have a lot of time, but it's not true. We're one breath, one heartbeat away from eternity. Anyhow, it says, but rejoice in a temporal blessing. And when that blessing is removed, they so often turn this way and that way, but do not come to me. I'm showing you things in order that you may seek me continually and with great diligence. As you seek me, I will open up truths to you that you have not seen before. And these very truths will be such that will enable you to stand in these last days. As you are persecuted, reviled, and rejected by your brethren, then you will turn unto me and with all your heart and seek me for that spiritual life that you need. So that when the tribulation comes, you will have that which will enable you to stand. But many will be tossed to and fro, men's hearts shall fail them because of trouble on every hand. These days shall be very terrible, the likes of which have never been seen before. Wow. That's a pretty big statement coming from the Holy Spirit, I believe. And he's sharing that with Stanley Fronsham, and Stanley Fronsham is writing it down so that we can know. And like I said, this is 1965. This is and now that's 50 years for 2015, and a lot that is that he wrote about that he received from the Holy Spirit. It's coming to pass. It's been coming to pass the last few years, and never has that I can recall in my lifetime, has it been so dark? Everything that wasn't okay 50 years ago is now okay. And our nation is slipping fast. And there's so many people, you know, that don't have jobs, and the economy is not moving forward. There's people that have money, but the money that we have is paper money, really, because we've got no value in our monetary system anymore. In other countries, they're trying to monopolize. And, you know, here's the thing. I don't know if you know this. I'm sure a lot of you do. But our dollar is called, in the world, the petrodollar. And the reason I say that is that the Middle East, the money that is bought to buy oil is the American dollar. So the American dollar has a high appreciation rate, just like the Mexican dollar is lower, Canadians lower, and others as well. What that means is they have to take their currency, transfer it to an American dollar in order to get the oil they need. So they got to pay more to get the same amount that we pay less for. Does that make sense? So that's why a lot of countries are so upset, you know, with the American people or the American government, is because their money of currency, their currency, is depreciated because the petrodollar, the American dollar, is what is used to pay for oil. And I think the same way with the pound in England and stuff like that, I'm pretty sure it's got to go to English or petrodollar. And so it's quite interesting that the American dollar is the petrodollar, and we have so much high interest in what's going on in the Middle East. And I truly believe the reason that high interest is not necessarily human rights, not necessarily people, it's oil. Who controls the oil controls the power. Who controls the power controls the world. You got no oil, you can't run your machines. You got no oil, you won't have no industry. You got no oil, you can't run your cars and vehicles. And oil has to be changed. You know, the gasoline is all the petroleum products. So guess what? That's a lot of reason why a lot of countries don't like us very much. And that's why it's interesting that there are certain people who want to bring us to the same level as they are. And there are certain countries that want to use their currency to undermine the American dollar. So we depreciate in value. And it's so interesting that all our major companies that were in America 20, 30 years ago, still maybe still here in some form or fashion, they send their jobs overseas in other countries. So they don't got to pay the high price of the high wages. So they get something cheaper, and then they bring it back over here, and then they make the Americans pay, and the American people don't have no work. So, you know, it's just a vicious cycle. It's sad. It's just a vicious cycle. And that wasn't that way 40, 50 years ago that I can remember. I know we came through the situation in the 70s, you know, when it came to the oil embargo and foreign car embargo. You saw how far that went. And it's always going to be that way. Who's ever got the money is going to buy it. Who don't is going to suffer. And like I said, one of the things about when you don't have what you normally have, or, you know, it brings you to a place where you got to find a source that can help you make it day by day. And when all the things that you are used to having aren't there, and things, and you become desperate, well, you will seek the Lord. I truly believe it. I know I did. When I was told I couldn't work the job I was working no more because it was affecting my health, you know, I really started seeking the Lord. And like I said, once I got the storm warning dream, which I wasn't even asking for, it really made me really, really evaluate my Christian walk. And that's why I realized for many people that unless God reveals it and shows it to a person, they're not going to understand. It's going to be hidden to them. And if something's hidden to them and there's no understanding to it for them, they're gonna either put it on a shelf or just totally discard it and throw it away in whatever way they want to do that, you know. So says, these days shall be very terrible, like the which have never been seen before. So we know these days are coming. Then the next topic is coming glory and deceiving spirits. And it goes, it starts off with, when I visit my people in mighty revival power, it is to prepare them for the darkness ahead. So the storm is coming. It's, you know, it 50 years ago, and he's calling it the darkness ahead, and God's telling me a storm is on the horizon now. And the signs of the storm are already here in America. It says, with the glory shall come great darkness. For the glory is to prepare my people for the darkness. I will enable my people to go through the darkness because of the visitation of my spirit. Take heed to yourselves, lest you be puffed up and think that you have arrived. In other words, you know, I got the glory. You know, I don't need to do no more. I'm there. No, you're not. None of us are there. We got to keep on moving forward in Christ. Many shall be puffed up as in the olden days. For then many received my message, but they did not continue in it. Did I anoint Jehu? Yet the things that I desired were not accomplished in his life. Listen to the messengers, but do not hold men's person in admiration or adulation. For many whom I shall anoint mightily with signs and miracles shall become lifted up and shall fall by the wayside. And this is so true. And it's sad because God raises up a man or a woman or a child to be that man or woman, called of God. And they get caught up. They get caught up in the power. They get caught up, you know, with people always seeing them and praising them and you know, putting them on a pedestal and that what God started it doesn't get completed because they start looking, you know, for praises of men instead of being a servant of God. And when that happens, God said in his word, my glory I'll give to no one. And he means it. Simple as that. When people who are in ministry start doing things that doesn't bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ to give him the glory and honor, which he rightfully deserves, the anointing will stop. And the blessings will stop. Because I'll never forget when I first got saved back in 1977, right? We dedicated our lives to Christ, actually. R.W. Schambach was a very big fixture in my life. Listened to him religiously, I guess that's the way you could put it. You know, every night he'd come on at 9:15, 9:30, and I listened to him, and listened to him, and listened to him, and listened to him. And I'll never forget one time he was in Indiana, and I said, oh man, I got to go see him in Indiana. And I went there, and the message, you know, I heard before, and I go, what gives? I don't get nothing. I'm not getting anything out of this. And I asked the Lord, I said, why ain't I getting anything out of this? What's wrong here? He said very simply, he said, you know what? You're following the sign. You're not supposed to follow the signs. You're not supposed to follow the signs of the ministry or the minister. The signs are supposed to follow you. And so I found out what I was there called to do, and that was to help them take down the tent, put chairs on the truck. And I did that. And I learned a valuable lesson there. And even when I was over in Louisiana, back in Louisiana, back in the 80s, I believe it was, I went to go see, Jimmy Swaggart. And I, you know, everybody wants to get close to him. And I moved up closer, and the Holy Spirit said, what are you doing this for? I said, well, I just want to get closer to Jimmy Swaggart, you know, get by where he's at ministering. He said, there you go again. In other words, I didn't take it that way. But then I said, you know what, because you've done this, He said, I take that back. He said, do you not know that I work through Jimmy Swaggart just as I work through you? He said that he does the work through him, not himself. Because I did this, I had to go over to the back. And so I did. And once again, it was a big time reminder to let me know it's the Holy Spirit of God that does the work. You know, people talk about I'm a prophet or I'm an apostle or I'm this or that or this or this or that. You know what? That's fine. If they want to do that, you know, that's between them and the Lord. But I truly believe with all my heart that it's the Holy Spirit that works in the offices through the people he uses. It's the Holy Spirit that is the prophet that works through the person, the vessel, or the apostolic calling. It's the Holy Spirit working that calling. If it's the gift of miracles, or intercession, or healing, or deliverance, or whatever it is, what gift ever is being used, it's the Holy Spirit using that person in that gift. So I just go by minister. I'm a vessel used by the Lord to minister, and that's all I want to be, because I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit, one, and I sure don't want the blessings and the miracles to stop flowing because I somehow got myself puffed up, and they will stop. And that happens when people look for the praises of men more than giving the praises to God. So, it says here, listen to the messengers, but do not hold men's person admiration or adulation. For many whom I shall anoint mightily with signs and miracles shall become lifted up and shall fall by the wayside. I do not this willingly, for I have made provision that they might stand. I call many into this ministry and equip them, but remember that many shall fall. They shall be like bright lights, and the people should delight in them, but they shall be taken over by deceiving spirits, and shall lead many of my people astray. Hearken diligently concerning these things, for in the last days shall come seducing spirits. They shall turn many of my anointed ones away. Many shall fall through diverse lusts, and because of sin abounding. But if you seek me diligently, I will put my spirit within you, so that when one shall turn to the right hand or to the left hand, you shall not turn with them. But instead, you will keep your eyes fixed wholly on your Lord. The coming days are going to be most dangerous, difficult, and dark, for there shall be a mighty outpouring of my spirit in judgment upon many cities, and many shall be destroyed. My people must be diligently warned concerning the days ahead. Many shall turn after seducing spirits. Already many are seducing my people. It is those who do righteousness that are righteous. Many cover their sins by great theological words. But I warn you of seducing spirits who instruct my people in an evil way. Many of these I will anoint that they in turn may purify and sift my people. For I will have a holy people. When I come, shall I not find faith upon the earth, but in a few. But when the time of testing comes, many will depart from the Lord. Wow, that's something to think about. Because, you know, it's saying here that many will turn to seducing spirits, and many will cover their sin by great theological words. And guess what? You can't hide from God. It's just not going to happen. And like I told you before, you know, you got certain people who are well-known as religious speakers, I'll put it that way, and they're trying to get people to go into Chrislam. And Chrislam is totally against the word of God. It's nothing there that is Christ-like. It's antichrist. And people who know the word need to get away. And like I told you, you can't go by a person saying, well, that speaks great swelling words or knows how to talk. You go by the fruit. You go by love, joy, peace, meekness, kindness, gentleness, temperance, faith, and such. But there's no law. You see fruits in people's life. That's how you know they're real in Christ. Stanley Frosham, just praying and just surrendering his time unto the Lord and having a forgiven spirit and showing love to those who have done him wrong. That's what you're looking for in a minister. And praise God, you know, they're out there. You just gotta ask the Lord to help you find leaders that are being led by the Holy Spirit and not by man. Okay. Many shall come with seduced spirits and hold out lustful enticements. You will find that. Now, see, lustful enticements can be anything. It doesn't have to be, you know, sensual. It could be anything that draws you away from seeking the Lord, anything that a desire that puts you in bondage and traps you so that you're not free in the Lord. And we all need to watch out for that. And it says here, you will find that after I visit my people again, the way will become more and more narrow, and fewer shall walk therein. Be not deceived, the way of righteousness are my ways. For though Satan come as an angel of light, hearken not to him. For those who perform miracles and speak not righteousness are not of me. I warn you, with great intensity I am coming to judge my house, and have a church without spot or wrinkle when I come. I desire to open your eyes and give you spiritual understanding, that you may not be deceived, but may walk with a brightness of heart before me, loving righteousness and hating every evil way. Look unto me, and I will make you to perceive with the eyes of the Spirit the things that lurk in darkness, that are not visible to the human eye. Let me lead you in this way, that you may receive them, that you may perceive the powers of darkness and battle against them. It's not a battle against flesh and blood, for if you battle in that way, you accomplish nothing. But if you let me take over and battle against the powers of darkness, then they are defeated, and then liberation or freedom is brought to my people. I read this last one, the way of deceivers, the other next topic. I warn you to search the scriptures dealing concerning these last days, and that's what we should be doing. We should be seeking God's word and reading God's word. And like I tell people, I said, don't believe me. You don't go by what I tell you. Find out for yourself what the word of God says. You know, I'm human, and I may make mistakes. I may not mean it on purpose, but that's the point. Don't look to man. Don't put your eyes on man. Put your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on the word of God. Because if you keep your eyes on the word of God, you won't ever go wrong. Okay, for the things that are written shall indeed be made manifest. They shall come. There shall come deceivers among my people in increasing numbers, who shall speak forth the truth and shall gain the favor of the people. It's happening now, people. I mean, it is happening now. But the people shall examine the scriptures and say, what these men say is true. Then when they have gained the hearts of people, then and then only shall they bring out their wrong doctrines. Therefore I say that you should not give your hearts to men, nor hold people's person admiration or adulation. There is those words again. But by these very persons Satan shall gain entry into my people. Watch for seducers. Do you think a seducer will brandish heresy and flaunt it before the people? He will speak words of righteousness and truth, and will appear as a minister of light, declaring the word. The people's hearts shall be won. Then when the hearts are won, they will bring out their doctrines, and the people shall be deceived. The people shall say, did he not speak thus and thus? And did we not examine it from the word? Therefore he is a minister of righteousness. This, that, he has now spoken, we do not see in the word, but it must be right. The other things he spoke were true. And that's exactly what we cannot do. Just because someone starts with the word and saying it, you know, you've got to, and if they start messing up or twisting it, you need to find out what the word says, whatever they're saying, and say, you know what, this ain't in the word, and I'm leaving now. Goodbye. Be not deceived, for the deceiver will first work to gain the hearts of many, and then shall bring forth his insidious doctrines. You cannot discern those who are of me, and those who are not of me when they start to preach. But seek me constantly, and when these doctrines are brought out, you shall have a witness in your heart that these are not of me. And I've had that. Fear not, for I have warned you. It is possible that the very elect may be deceived, but it is not possible for you to walk in holiness. But it is not possible if you walk in holiness and uprightness. And that's true. If you're seeking the Lord, you're reading his word, and your eyes are upon Jesus, and you know the word of God, and you've got the word in your heart, and the Holy Spirit will bring that word out. And so when someone tries to pull a fast one, as they would say, you'll know it, and you're rejected, and you won't be pulled into it. Before the Lord, for then your eyes shall be open, and the Lord will protect you. If you will constantly look unto the Lord, you will know when the doctrine changes. You will not be brought into it. If your heart is right, I will keep you. You will look constantly to me, I will uphold you. And you know, that's what it was. I'll say it. That's when they brought out that the Rick Warren thing, you know, the what was it called? I can't remember. When he brought out that book about, I don't remember, life or whatever. I didn't read it. I wanted nothing to do with it because I thought, you know what? I don't need this. I need the Word of God. I need the Word of God more than the man trying to tell me what the Word of God says. And I didn't even, the purpose-driven life, that's it. And I rejected it. I said, I want nothing to do with this. And I didn't. And sometimes people would try, here, read this. It's free. I'll give it to you free. I don't want it because I want the Word of God. And now you see, you know, the purpose-driven life, you know, was to bring you to a certain place. And now, well, now you, if you listen to Rick Warren, and I'll say it that way, and his position, now, well, gee, he was right about the purpose-driven life. He's got to be right about charisma. Well, you know what? Wrong answer. He's wrong. Charisma is antichrist. It is not of God. And shame on those ministers or leaders or so-called minister leaders who have been duped into believing this lie. You need, if your church is having charisma in your church, get it out now. And if your minister or leader doesn't want that to happen, then get out of that fellowship and leave now, quickly, because that's nothing but doctrines of devils. And I'll say that before Rick Warren. If I ever see his face, I'll tell him the same thing I'm saying right now. Because it's not of God. It is antichrist. It's a doctrine of devils. A house divided against itself can't stand. And God will not let that which is man-made get his glory. It's not going to happen. He won't allow it. There'll be no anointing. He won't be in it, in the story. So run from it. The minister of righteousness shall be on this wise. His life shall agree with the word. There you go. That's it. That's all you need to know. The minister of righteousness shall be on this wise. His life shall agree with the word. And his lips shall give forth that which is wholly true. There will be no mixture. When the mixture appears, then you will know he's not a minister of righteousness. The deceiver speaks first the truth and then error to cover their own sins, which they love. Therefore, I exhort and command you to study the scriptures relative to seducing spirits, for this is one of the great dangers of these last days. I desire to be firmly established in my word and not in the personalities of men, that you will not be moved as so many shall be moved. I would keep you in the path of righteousness. Take heed to yourselves. Follow not the seducing spirits that are already manifested themselves. Diligently inquire of me when you hear something that you have not seen in the word, and do not hold people's person in admiration, for it is by this very method that Satan will hold many of my people. Wow. That's powerful. That's very powerful. So, very simple. I mean, like I've shared to you before, you know, he said, beware of men. Jesus said it. Jesus Christ said it. He said it. Beware of men that come in sheep's clothing. For inside, they're ravenous wolves. They're about to destroy you. He said, you'll know them by their fruits. He didn't say you'd know them by their big time preaching. He didn't say you'd know them by their eloquency and speaking. He said you can't go by, you know, the miracles and signs and wonders that take place in their life. You gotta go by the fruit. You gotta go by the life, that's an example that they're living. Are they living a Christ like life? Are they men and women of prayer? Do they seek the Lord in the morning? Do they spend hours before Him? Do they spend hours at night with Him and before Him, seeking His face, seeking His will? Do they show godly love? Are they merciful and patient and kind and patient and long suffering? You know, those are the fruits of the spirits. And if you want to know where they're at, check Galatians 5. I think it's chapter 5, verse 22. And you'll know what the fruits of the Spirit are. And that's what you go by. And when these people say, oh, you know what, I'm a big religious leader and, you know, and I've got all these followers and you need to follow, don't you do it. Especially if they go against the Word of God, get away as fast as you can. Run from it. Sprint away from it if you have to, but get away. And like I shared before, and I've said, many times already on the broadcast, don't even listen to me. Don't believe me. believe the word of God. You know, just like that prophecy, people will say what you need to hear and use the word and to draw you in, but then sooner or later they start putting a little bit of what their doctrine is, a little bit of what their thoughts are. Now, I say that my thoughts, but I let you know it's my thoughts. I say, you know, this is my opinion about this. But when it comes to the word of God, I say, you know what? Don't believe me. Believe the word of God. I'm going to pass away one way or another. I'm out of here. You know, I'm leaving. I'm going to leave, you know, by the grave, or I'm going in the air. And what I'm trying to say is God's word will be forever and ever and ever. You know, I tell people, especially people who don't believe in God, I say, you know what? It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't even matter what I believe or what you believe. God is I am. And he's been around a whole lot longer than either one of us. And his word has been here a lot longer than either one of us. So in the end, his word is going to be what stands the test of time and all eternity. And it will stand. So we've got to do. You know, even as ministers, I meet ministers and I kind of like, yeah, okay, you know, whatever, you know, because I, if I don't see the fruits in their life, I kind of like take a step back. And I would expect that to be the same way people would be with me. And like I said, I tell people that God be true and every man a liar, and that includes Minister Tom Miracle. Because that's what we got to watch out for. And there's people out there. There's one person who says he's the Messiah. I'm thinking, you're a fool. You know? I know you're not just going, oh man, a fool, but golly, that's like, are you crazy? You say you know Scripture? You ain't the Messiah. You err greatly. You know? And you got all these other people saying, I'm this, and I'm that, and I'm this, and I'm that. You know what? I realize Paul, the Apostle Paul, who was taught under Gamaliel, I mean, if there was anybody who would have a right, if he lived in this time, in 2015, if anybody had the right to boast and to talk about all the great things he had learned and accomplished, it'd be him. But Paul, I believe, would say the same thing he said, you know, in the epistle. Without Christ, I'm nothing. And he said, I consider everything that I did a waste without Christ, that I might know him in the powers of resurrection, that I might know him. That was his major goal. And that should be everybody's major goal, that we might know Christ. Because it's in him we live and move and have our being. Without Christ, I'm nothing. Without Jesus Christ doing what he did when he was on this earth living as a man and paying the price and being whipped and beaten and crucified. If he doesn't do that, I'm not on this radio station. I may not even be alive. But God, who is rich in mercy, knew that the only way to redeem mankind from their sin would be through the blood of Jesus Christ and be reconciled to God. So I know that for myself, titles mean nothing. What's most important is going to be only for me, well done, thou good and faithful servant. To hear God say that, that's all that's going to matter. And I'm not going to be impressed. Well, Lord, I got this. I'm a pastor. Lord, I'm a Sunday school teacher and this and that. See, look at all my credit. That ain't going to mean nothing. What's going to mean the most is that having the blood of Jesus applied upon my life, having my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life because of what Jesus Christ did in Calvary. And by the grace of God and by His Holy Spirit that empowered me through His Word, that got me to complete whatever mission I'm called by God to complete. And to hear those words from the Master, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Because titles ain't going to mean a thing. And too many times we get caught up. And we need to stop that. The most important part is to realize that God promotes. God promotes. And God ordains. And whatever he promotes and whatever he ordains in a person's life, they need to follow through with it. Because that's the only true way to bring fulfillment in a person's life when it comes to ministry. Just follow what God's called you to do. And the thing I wanted to share and say was that, because like the Apostle Paul, I really believe it on my heart that if he was here, he'd be chewing a lot of ministers out, or so-called ministers out. He'd be laying it on the line. And I'm sure with his charism, he'd be letting everybody know this is Antichrist and this is not of God. And this is the doctrines of demons and devils. All I'm saying to you all very simply is this. Don't put your trust in man. Put your trust in Christ. Don't follow people to the extent where you're following them more than following God. Because it can become an idol. It can become religion. And you don't want that. Because, like I said, God will not give his glory to no one. No one. Zero. He gets all the glory. I remember what he told me when I was in another state. And he said, go get me glory. And he meant it. Go share my love. Go share, be a witness for me. You know? And that's what we're here for. To be ministers of the gospel. To be servants to the Most High God. And do what he's called us to do. And the way you do that is you read his word. You study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen? Amen. Well, we'll continue with the End Time Prophecy by Stanley Frosham on the next broadcast. I just want to give an invitation once again. If you don't know Jesus Christ, your Savior and Lord, it's time. You realize that now more than ever, it's time. And the Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart. Why don't you just surrender your life to Jesus Christ? The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. The Bible says, come and buy and with no money. In other words, God has a gift for you, and that gift is eternal life if you'll receive him as your Savior and Lord. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for this time. I thank you, Lord, for your word going forth and warning the people that we're coming to the end of this age very soon. This Gentile dispensation will be over, and very soon you'll be taken the bride home. I pray, Lord God, that people's hearts will be open, and they'll come to a place that they want to receive you as Savior, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. If you want to come into the family of God and you want to receive Jesus Christ, Savior, Lord, then say this simple prayer with me. Mean it from your heart. That's the most important part, you mean it from your heart. Lord Jesus, forgive me of all my sins. I ask you to come in my life. I repent of all my wrongdoing and my rebelliousness. I'm tired of running. I'm tired of feeling this emptiness inside. I've tried everything. It's not working. My friends are giving me answers, but they're the wrong answers. I feel empty, and I need my life filled, and I need my life filled with you, Lord. I ask you to come in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and I believe that God raised you from the dead, and through you, I will have eternal life also. I thank you, Lord, for letting me become part of the family of God. I thank you, Lord, for forgiving me of all my sins, all my transgressions, and I receive you now as my Savior and Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. You prayed that prayer. God bless you. And if you'd like to share that, I would like to let you know our P.O. Box number at this time. Our P.O. Box is 6261 Goodyear, Arizona 85338. That's P.O. Box 6261 Goodyear, Arizona 85338. I'm on Facebook, so if you would like to get with me that way, I'm Thomas Miracle. I have my picture as I stand with Israel. You'd like to join our Facebook group, the Storm Warning, Native American for Christ, and continue prayer for persecuted Church America, the nation's The Awakening. And before I go off the air, I want to pray for people who are sick in body and need healing. I've been getting a lot of requests, and of course, there's requests. Remember, people in Nepal. Remember the people in the Philippines, the typhoon. Based on reports I've heard, two people are dead. I don't know how many are injured or how many are displaced, but remember those people in your prayers. Also, there's a quadriplegic, a young lady, her name is, I believe, Susan. I could be wrong, but God knows her name. Her family's asking requests for prayer. And there's so many needs that we all have. And remember the officers that were murdered, shot in Mississippi. Remember their families, loved ones, people down there that are grieving, and other places where that has happened. I believe in New York too. Just remember, like I said, people who are hurting and people who need a touch of God, shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord. You said your word and healed them. I pray, Lord God, your healing anointing, miraculous power will flow through hospitals and the nursing homes and the sick and shut in and just touch lives. God, those who need healing, heal them. Those that need deliverance, deliver them. Those that are grieving, comfort them. Lord, those who need saving, save. Lord, save, heal, set free, and deliver. I break the chains of darkness and all the works of the enemy in the mighty name of Jesus. Break the spirit of suicide, fear, doubt, unbelief, confusion, wrath, envy, strife. Rebuke all the works of darkness, all the attacks of the enemy coming against God's people. Rebuke the spirit of murder and lust and all the works of darkness working through Boko Haram and Al-Qaeda and ISIS and all the other man-made religious extremist groups that are hurting God's people. I pray, Lord God, that the sentences will be overturned for Agent Bibby and Brother Saeed and others as well. I pray, Lord God, you give them holy boldness. Heal them if they need healing, strengthen their body. Bless them, encourage them. Let them be a witness for you. Let the glory of the Lord shine up on them and others as well. Minister to all who are hurting. Minister to the brokenhearted. Minister to each and every one, oh God. But most of all, bring them to a place where they will receive your Savior and Lord. These things I ask in Jesus Christ's name. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Okay, well, I just want to say thank you again for listening. And I just want to leave you with this, that people build empires and God builds people. He's building you and I by his word and through his Holy Spirit. God bless you all. Amen.